Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, you know what Christmas is about, or else you wouldn't be here this morning. Christmas isn't really about family, although it's a great blessing to spend it with family when and if you can. Christmas isn't about decorations or food or traditions, although those things are nice, like icing on the cake or on the cookies. Christmas is not about presents or gifts, except to the extent that giving and receiving gifts allows us to show just a tiny bit of the love that the Father has shown to us, because, of course, Christmas is about the Father's greatest gift of love to us, which the Apostle John carefully unwraps for us in the gospel more and more every year. Once again this year, we gather together around the Christmas tree in God's house to let the Holy Spirit hand out to us the Father's greatest gift to you and for you, the gift of His eternal Son, born in human flesh. The angel revealed to the shepherds and to us last night much about this gift of the Father, that He is a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord. John reveals even more when he calls Him the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Trinitarian references alone in John's Gospel are enough for us to think about and ponder for the rest of our lives. But consider for this morning what it means that the one born in Bethlehem is the Word. God had so much to reveal to mankind about Himself. The creation wasn't good enough. The creation reveals much about God, but still not the most important things, like who God is, what He demands and what He promises, and on what basis. The Old Testament prophets revealed much of that as God's Spirit inspired them to write down in words that would be preserved for all generations the truth of God. But there is just no substitute for in-person communication. Yet, after the fall into sin, direct communication between God and fallen mankind was no longer possible, between God in His majesty and sinners in our sin. A terrible rift had been opened between God and man. So God designed, even in eternity, a way to speak to us directly, a way to show us His heart, to show us what He's like, what He commands, and what He gives. God the Father gave His only begotten Son, begotten of the Father before all worlds, as we confess in the Creed, to share our humanity, to be born into our world. So badly God wanted to teach us about Himself that He joined Himself to our human race. So badly God wanted to redeem sinful human beings and to make them His children that He gave His eternal Son to become our brother, our sacrifice, the innocent for the guilty, to bring us to God. That is the Word of God. That Word of God, as St. John describes, was the very one, the very Word that the Father used to create all things. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. When the Father said in the beginning, "Let there be light," It was the Word of God who later became flesh, who brought that light into existence. And everything else that the Father spoke to. So the babe lying in the manger was not really so helpless, nor was the man who would one day hang on the cross. He was the maker of the manger and of the cross, the maker of his mother Mary, the maker of the humble circumstances of his birth, even the maker of his own human flesh. Even as he lay sleeping in Mary's lap, the Word made flesh was, as the writer to the Hebrews said, upholding all things by the word of his power. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. As Jesus would later say, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And how do we, sinners destined for death, have that life? The life had to take on human flesh so that the life could die a human death. But when the life took up his life again, he became the source of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to all who believe in him as the life giver. And how do we believe in him who is the life and light of men? That we cannot do on our own, by our own power, by our own reason or strength. As John wrote, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Of course it didn't. Because the light can shine all day long, but a blind man will never see it. We're all born in that kind of darkness. We're all born spiritually blind, unable to see the light of Christ, unable to comprehend His light, unable to receive Him. If we are to believe in Him, He has to be the one to work that faith in us. And how does He do it? You know, he does it by the preaching of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by preaching. When the word of Christ is preached, when the gospel of the word made flesh is proclaimed, there is Jesus enlightening blind eyes by his Holy Spirit. The apostle talks about that in our gospel. He mentions the very first preacher sent from God to point directly to the light, John the Baptist. There was power in John's witness, power to enlighten blind eyes, power to turn sinners to repentance and faith, power that all through him might believe. That was always God's intent, and that's always the power that the preaching of the gospel carries with it, that all men might hear the word and believe in the word. The true light, which gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. In spite of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in the gospel preaching, not all men did believe through John's preaching. The world didn't know the Father's greatest gift. The world didn't recognize the Father's greatest gift. It didn't want the Father's greatest gift. Why? Because it was too small, too weak, too humble. To some, the humility of Jesus was offensive. From his lowly birth in Bethlehem to the suffering he endured on the cross, it all seemed like foolishness to most people. It wasn't the gift they expected from God, the Creator. Not the gift they wanted. Not the glorious kind of salvation they were seeking. And yet to others, the humility of the one born of Mary, the humble way in which he led his whole life from his lowly birth in Bethlehem to his humble suffering and dying on the cross, and the humble means of grace by which he works faith in word and sacrament, makes him accessible to lowly people like you and me. It shows God's love for everyone. It allows the worst sinner and the lowliest man or woman or child to see that God came for him too, that Christ suffered for him too, that God is eager for him too to repent and believe in Christ Jesus to receive the Father's greatest gift. Now most people still didn't receive him when he dwelt among men, and most people still don't receive him as he dwells among us in preaching and in the sacraments. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is what Christmas is about. This is why you're here this morning. Because not by your bloodline, not by your own free will, not by the will of your earthly father, but by God's grace, working through word and sacrament, you have been reborn as children of God. You have been brought to see the light of Christ, to trust in him for the forgiveness of sins. You know that Jesus is real, that his birth of the Virgin Mary and his placement in the manger in Bethlehem were real, that his divinity also is real, and that he is really present here and now to give himself to you in this word that you're hearing, to give his very body and blood to you in the sacrament of the altar. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word no longer dwells among us in the same way that he did for 33 years, nor do we behold his glory in quite the same way as his apostles did. But his grace and his truth remain unchanged. The fact of his birth, the fact of his life, the fact of his death and of his resurrection can never be erased. And if you are willing to receive him, where he still offers himself in word and in sacrament, then the Father's greatest gift of love is poured out into your lap. And God is still with you, and God is still for you. Let us rejoice today in our Father's greatest gift of love to us and give him thanks with our lips, with our lives, and with our love for him and for one another. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.